another to be the church. And David and Sue, Richard and Connie are here this morning to take that intentional step in being a part of what God is doing here. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to page 33 in your hymnal that you might share in this covenant making. Also, your portion is on the screen in front of you if you wish. I hope that this is a reminder to all of us as we worship this day of who we are as the church with God's help. And so, friends, brothers, and sisters in Christ, it's through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church, that we are incorporated, that we are folded into God's mighty acts of salvation, and that we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And it's through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith that we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Pastor Bethany?
I present David and Susan Skinzel, who come seeking professing membership by reaffirmation of faith, and Richard and Connie Bradlaugh, who come seeking professing membership by profession of faith.
So Connie and Richard, Sue and David, I ask you on behalf of the church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with a church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, please respond, I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will
proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, of our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Lord, we pray over this water that reminds us of our baptism. We pray
For Connie and Richard, David and Susan this day, as well as the congregation, as we come together and renew our covenant with you and with one another to be faithful disciples, we pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
David and Sue and Richard, we invite you to come to the baptismal font to place the mark of the cross upon your forehead with the water and to remember your baptism and to be thankful. Connie, remember your baptism and be thankful.
As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, we will.
As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend to you these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Pastor Bethany?
The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And now we have some gifts for you as new members, and I would like to invite Chris Goralski forward. He is one of the chairs of our member care team, and he will present those to you.
Brothers and sisters, can we greet our newest members?
Can I have all the children come forward, please? Good morning. Oh my goodness. Are you going to keep us safe today, Owen? I hope so. I just want to apologize. I wasn't feeling good this weekend, so we didn't get out a message to make sure that everybody had the opportunity to wear a costume. So we will do it again next week if anyone wants to wear their costume. Just so we have an opportunity, everyone has the opportunity. So, all right, good morning. Do you guys know what prayer is? Do you remember what prayer is? Do you know we can even pray with a pumpkin? What do you think? We're going to have some fun this morning praying with some pumpkins. This morning we're going to be discussing a parable from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 18 verses 9 through 14. Jesus tells a story about prayer. I wonder if you'll relate to the humble tax collector. I wonder how many will. I wonder how you'll feel about the boastful man.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come together and thank you for this beautiful day, for the treats we'll enjoy throughout this coming week, and for your everlasting love. Please forgive us our trespasses. Personally, I lost patience with my mom a lot over the last course of the 5 years that she's lived with me. I ask you, Lord, to please forgive me. Help me to show her kindness and your love. Help our class to worship together today and to feel your love as we learn more about prayer. Amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
Thank you.
Amen. As you heard, today is part of our stewardship campaign moment, and you know, we might think that this time is really about considering what I might give, what we might give individually, but a part of this time together as a church is dreaming what God can do collectively among us. When the wind of the Holy Spirit gets caught in our sails of what we are doing as a church, what might God do? And there's all signs of that this morning if you're looking closely. Welcoming our new members, I'm greeted by pews full of children in their Halloween costume. Don't get to experience that every Sunday. David and Sue, as they're headed back to their pew after being welcomed as new members, are greeted with a hug. And then I see our chancel choir gather up front, helping one another to share their gifts, and then we have that beautiful offering. This time is about dreaming as a church what God might do in the coming year. And so this morning we have Ellen Talbot, who serves as our strategic leadership council chair, to share this morning's stewardship moment. Ellen?
Thank you, Jeremy. And good morning, everybody. And I don't have a hairnet this morning. Sorry about that. So I'll leave that to the links. But thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. So this is an exciting and important season in the life of our church, the season of stewardship. And that's when we reflect on how God has blessed us and how we, in turn, can be a blessing to others. At its heart, stewardship is not simply about funding a budget. It is about how we, as followers of Jesus, live into our mission, helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. That mission is larger than any one of us, but it is possible because of all of us together. Over the past year, our Strategic Leadership Council has prayerfully named several priorities for our church's ministry. These include resetting and aligning our church culture, recruiting and retaining engaged and effective staff, reducing our financial deficit, relying on endowment, and then driving toward our mission. These are not just line items on a budget, but they represent lives being touched, faith being formed, and the gospel being shared in word and deed. But stewardship, as you know, is about more than finances. When each of us joined this church, we took vows to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Through your prayers, you strengthen this congregation and surround it with God's Spirit. Through your presence, whether in worship or fellowship or in study, you bring encouragement and community. Through your service, you use your gifts and talents to meet needs, to care for neighbors, and to embody Christ's love in action. Through your witness, you share your faith in ways that invite others to discover what it means to follow Jesus. And through your financial gifts, you provide the resources that make all the rest possible. When we give in these ways, we are not just keeping the church running. We are investing in God's mission. We are saying to the world, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and this is what we want to be a part of together. Individually, none of us could accomplish the breadth of this ministry, but together with God's help, we can. Together, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness become a powerful testimony. One that says the gospel still matters, that Christ's love is still changing lives, that the church still has a vital role to play in this community and in the world. For me personally, I can say that this church has become so much more than a place of worship. It's become a family to me. The friendships I've formed here have shown me what it truly means to be a part of the body of Christ. Although there are many experiences I could talk about over the years, I want to highlight just two. The first of those is my involvement in the small group S3, which stands for Study, Service, and Social. That's been a source of incredible personal growth for me. Reading scripture together and hearing others' insights has deepened my understanding of God's word and strengthened my faith. It's in our quiet discussions that I have felt God speak to me clearly. Serving at Friendship Lunch Ministry has also been a huge blessing. I have the chance to meet people from all walks of life and share God's love through service. Whether I'm helping in the kitchen or greeting guests, I'm reminded that hospitality and compassion are powerful ways to live out our faith. I am so grateful to be serving alongside a group of compassionate, faith-filled people, demonstrating that kindness and humility can make an ordinary meal feel like grace in action. Through these experiences, I've come to see connection as the heart of stewardship. Being part of that community reminds me that everything we have, our time, our gifts, our resources, comes from God and is meant to be shared for His purposes. So today and throughout the season, I invite you to pray about how you can participate fully in this mission, not just with your finances, though your financial pledge is vital, but with your whole self, with your prayers, with your presence, with your service, with your witness, and with your generosity. Because when we give, we live into our vows. We become part of something bigger than ourselves. We become part of the Spirit's work of helping people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you already give. Thank you for all the ways that you serve. Thank you for joining me and looking forward with faith, hope, and generosity. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Together, let's continue to build a church that points people to Jesus Christ here now and for generations to come. Amen.
Ellen, thank you for helping us imagine what God is doing here. This morning we've talked a lot about what we might give. During our time of offering, I might invite you to imagine what God has given you. And so you might imagine, like Ellen, how you have encountered God's grace by giving of yourself into the ministries of this church. Or perhaps you might have to imagine this week how God has spoken into your life and provided what is needed, whether it is a great blessing that you are holding in your arms right now, whether it is the church coming around you and supporting you during difficult time. Maybe it is a beautiful morning like today that reminds you that God has blessed you. May we be mindful of God's blessings as we share joyfully what God has already given to us. Would the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, please stand as we sing our doxology together and the offering is brought forward.
Almighty God, we share joyfully because we know that you have already shared joyfully with us. We also give expectantly, knowing the work that you are doing in this world, knowing the work that you are doing in this church. And so may you bless all that we give, that you and the church may be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wondered what Jesus' laugh sounds like? Have you ever wondered what it meant for Jesus to have fun? Have you ever thought about what it must have been like for Jesus to tell a joke? Today, we explore the second theme of our stewardship campaign for 2026 and the second theme of the United Methodist Church vision statement, the call to serve joyfully. What a gift it is to talk about what brings us joy. Has anyone asked you lately, or have you thought about what brings you joy? As I prepared for today's sermon and studied our scripture passage, I thought about all these different questions. God is the source of our joy, whether we realize it or not. Perhaps you've heard that joy is different from happiness, being that joy is much deeper. It is that which comes from Jesus and does not change based on our circumstances, much like our happiness might. That is true, certainly. In our passage today, Jesus and his disciples have just finished the Passover Seder meal, the last of which Jesus will share with his friends before he is crucified. In John's account of the good news, the gospel, he does not give us details of the meal himself, of the meal itself, but rather focuses on the fact that Jesus washed the disciples' feet and gave us an example to follow. Scholars agree that John's gospel account is primarily theological.
He uses his words and examples very intentionally to make a point. The miracles of Jesus that John includes in his account, John labels as signs. And throughout his writing, he includes 7 I am statements of Jesus when Jesus himself tells us who he is. This is important to be aware of because we know that there is much about the life of Jesus that the gospel writers did not include in their accounts. And so when we think about how we read and study scripture and what it means for us, it's good to ask why such details are included. In looking at John chapter 13, verses 12 through 16, and its surrounding context, one may wonder why it is that John chose to include this about the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples for the last time. The first 4 verses of the chapter help us in our wondering. John writes in the first 4 verses of the chapter, "Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Jesus loved the 12 disciples until the end. And knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus chose to wash feet. Have you ever wondered why? In the 11th chapter of John, Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life. In the 3rd chapter of Revelation, Jesus tells us that he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He knows all things and he holds all things. And yet, on his last evening with the disciples, he chooses to wash their feet. What joy! What joy it is for us, and what joy Jesus must have had at what was to come, what is to come. For God, what is now? You see, God is outside of time. In the incarnation, when God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, he stepped into time in order to meet us where we are. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. We call the triune God the 3-in-1. There's a term for this in theology. Because when we think about God, definitions aren't simply definitions. They point to something greater. They point us to who God is and help us to see who we are. That's why God being outside of time is important for us. Because it means we can trust him and his goodness for us. Because he truly is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It would be true even if Jesus had never told us who he is. But he wants us to know him.
He wants to be known. He wants us to follow him, and that's why he gave us an example. Not just in the ways he washed the disciples' feet, but in his life through and through. However, as we examine this passage in particular and what it means to serve with joy, what I mentioned earlier about the difference between joy and happiness becomes really important. Tonight, we have the gift and the privilege of passing out candy to trunk-or-treaters here at the church. It's possible for someone to do that without joy. It's possible. But how much more do we experience the joy of Christ and the love of Christ when whatever we do with joy? This joy comes from knowing that death is not the end and that hope is alive, because hope is the source of life itself. Our hope is God, who has become flesh so that we will be with him one day and never parted. He knows us intimately. He knows what we need and who we are. And surely, Jesus could have chosen many other activities after the Passover meal to share in with the disciples. And in those days, individuals who had walked very far would have washed their feet upon entering a house to wash their dust from the feet after traveling. Yet today, we recognize that Jesus washing the disciples' feet wasn't about the act itself, the foot washing, but rather the fact that Jesus, their Lord and their teacher, took the position of the servant. The master took the position of the slave out of love for them. That's it. That's what it's all about. When we love someone, how much joy is in our actions? We don't think about the cost. When we love, we just do it. When I was in seminary, I loved to bake for people. And a few different times, I made cookies during finals week. That was not an easy thing to do with the time that I had, but I really care about the people that I sent them to, and I knew it would bring them joy. Sometimes the best way isn't the easy way, but it is the way of joy because of love. God could have chosen to redeem the world in any way he wanted. He didn't have to come in the flesh, but he did. Jesus took the cross so that we would be redeemed, but he didn't have to. And we know that our God loves us so much that he humbled himself. Just as the author of Hebrews wrote in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 13, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls or lose heart. The joy
set before Jesus was reconciliation for us with God. That influenced every choice Jesus made on earth. How would we be drawn into deeper union with him? Union with God is what stirs our joy. When we think about our stewardship campaign, at the heart, it's not the money. It's bringing people to Jesus, using what resources we have to set a goal for the coming year so that we can pour ourselves out doing ministry for the joy of the Lord. When we set our budget, when we talk about financial gifts, that helps us to know how we can be good stewards. God knows what we need. He knows what will give him the most glory. And we get to be a part of that in many, many ways, including our stewardship campaign with our finances and through our church budget, including welcoming new members this morning. In full, the United Methodist Church's vision statement is, the United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. To serve joyfully is to journey alongside people with the heart of Christ, offering care and compassion. It's keeping the end in mind and remembering that Jesus is our Lord and our teacher. As John 13:14 reminds us, we follow his example. We follow his lead, because where he leads us is always good and always beautiful. He is the creator of the good and the beautiful and the true. Love for one another is what motivates us, because it's why Jesus chose to wash feet on the last night with his disciples. Of all the things he could have chosen, he came not to be served, but to serve. That's Mark 10, verse 45. Love takes us further than we could imagine and deeper into joy, closer to Christ and closer to one another, because love and joy are both found in Christ, the source of each. And so as we make choices, and as we interact, let us consider our Lord and teacher, Jesus Christ. He is God, and he chose to humble himself. He chose to wash the feet of those he loved. Ultimately, our joy is not of this world. It's unity with him and offering God's love to everyone, even in the smallest ways. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Before we enter into prayer, we would like to extend our sympathies to the family of Paul Dusso, to KG and their children and grandchildren. Paul passed away on October 20th. Let us join together in prayer. Lord, be with all those who grieve today, in our congregation and across the whole world. Allow them to experience your presence in a way that is different. Lord, we know that you are the God of all comfort, and that you comfort us in ways we cannot fully comprehend. May the peace that passes all understanding rest upon them. We thank you that death is not the end, and that we have a living hope for eternal life and rest in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that it is to serve, and for the promise that we have to get to serve in your strength, your grace, and your joy. Truly, you are the one in whom all things are created and hold together. We cannot live out joyful service without you, because you are the source of everything good. Thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and feet. May we indeed be such, so much so that others turn and follow you. Thank you for the incarnation, that Jesus is God in the flesh, and that he is our Lord and our teacher. Thank you that he has taught us by example with humility. Glory to you, God. Glory to you. Help us to understand through our own experiences the joy of pouring ourselves out as you did by taking the place of servant and slave. Fill us with the joy of your salvation so that we imitate Jesus and do as Paul did when he said, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Help us to fight the good fight, to finish the race well, to keep the faith, and be willing to be poured out as a libation for others. Give us your heart, Lord. Give us your heart. We pray for the persecuted church today, those who cannot worship freely. Lord, give courage to those who face trials because of your name. Give them courage to stand firm on the truth, come what may. We thank you for the privilege that it is to pray, not only for the church, but for anything. Give us the desire to pray about everything. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Brothers and sisters, our closing song today is the Servant Song. I invite you to stand. And as we sing this song together, it is full of words that are really not just a promise, not just a message from God, but these are words that are a promise to the people sitting next to you. So I invite you to take just a second to look at the folks that are next to you on either side, that are behind you and in front of you in the pew. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the folks that we are doing ministry with, that we are serving God with, that we are joyfully living this life together with. So I invite you to share in this song with us, the Servant Song.
Thank you.
let us sing.
Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be the Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
We are pilgrims.
We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load.
I will hold
the Christ life for you.
Invited into joyful service, following our Lord and our teacher, who loved us so much that he came down in the incarnation to be with us. And so I invite you to wonder what might God be calling you into this week? Who might God be calling you to serve? And then serve joyfully, not because you have to, but because you follow your Lord and your teacher who loves you and will give you the grace to be the servant he has called you to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.